Thanks for joining us at The Zealous Disposition, where positive positions on life are shared through dialogue, stories, and other experiences.
Hello, hello, hello. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Zealous Disposition Podcast. Question for you guys. Have you ever met someone that every time you saw them, heard about them, or spoke to them, they were moving forward with something? They had a desire to lead, to do better, to be an example worth following, and to transcend all. Well, I have. And today, we will be talking about one of those persons, or we will be talking with one of those persons. Today's guest is Mr. Philip Bailey, author of the book titled Directions. And for the listeners, if you do hear thunderstorms in the background, please pay them no mind. Thunderstorms come and go, just like they will come and go in life. And these thunderstorms are also present in his book. So it's just a part of life, and we got to continue pressing on. Now, Philip, I've known him for a long, long time, and people may know him as Philip, as a Philip Bailey, or even Mr. Bailey, but I know him as Sergeant Bailey and Harlem Shake from Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated. So without stalling and everything, let's go ahead and get Philip on the mic. Philip, welcome to the Zealous Disposition Podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
It's really my pleasure and everything. So as mentioned earlier, I know you, but let's have the audience get to know a little bit about you. So go ahead and give us a little breakdown of you real quick.
Oh, well, certainly. Well, again, thank you for having me. I'm just a kid from Harlem, New York, that truly represents the definition, if you will, of perseverance. I grew up in a pretty much rough home, and I guess I used every opportunity possible to push forward. As you stated earlier, I was in the Air Force. Before the Air Force, I went to Shaw University. Go Shaw. Okay. Class 05. Prior to that, I was a high school dropout, but I'm pretty sure we're going to get into that later. But I'm just a testament that, you know, persistence equals dedication. So.
All right. Appreciate that breakdown. It sounded like you was almost about to get all into the book and just
I didn't want to do that.
do the interview all by yourself and everything. But that's good stuff. That's good stuff. So broken down real quick. And then I know some things also kind of like the things I like to hit upon. So brother, husband, father, student of life. The last time I know we talked, it was like you had your bachelor's working on MBA. And
oh, man.
Now.
Yeah.
So now what are you doing?
Oh, man. Let me drop this on you. Last Friday morning, I received a notification that I am now a PhD candidate.
Oh, all right. All right. So, Congratulations.
I cried like a baby. But that's just another testament.
Oh, yeah. Fully like if you read the book, I can fully understand that, because from where everything started to being a soon to be, you get your stuff together, Dr. Bailey, like what?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And so it's sort of like a fantasy, but it's not, because most of the times, and I'm telling my son in his class this the other day. We kind of see this happen in movies, and this seemed to be a godly written movie where this is the climax, if you will, the turnaround point. And African-American kids don't see this face-to-face. They usually see it in superstars or in movies or in a book. Now they get to see this individual in front of them who's done it, and they could reach out to that person. They could touch that person. And I'm starting to believe that's my goal. I think I'm that inspiration that this generation needs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely need a lot of that. And it's funny, you touch upon something I had on my mind, how, like, you know, you hear about these books, you hear about something, and then they always have some type of title, something they did big behind their name that helps that book get pushed forward. However, and definitely no disrespect to you, it's nothing but everyday person. You're an everyday person, author, that wrote a book, and I think this is kind of something that hits home, like saying, hey, you know, like, it's not nothing like, oh, that's just a movie star writing a book, or that's this. This is a person that touches you on your everyday level that wrote about their life, and you could take those lessons and push forward with it. I think it's good stuff. I get it. And we're sitting here talking about the book. So let me just roll in real quick right. with that first question. So what made you decide to write a book, you know, become an author?
Legacy. I think you and I always talked about it back in Florida. We always talked about what we want to leave behind for our kids. And, you know, the first thing people would say is money or something materialistic. And I was like that at first. And after my first son, I think we was in Southeast Asia. And I believe we were discussing, you know, we were talking about what we're going to leave behind for our children. For me, this book represents that legacy. I want to leave behind something that wherever my sons or my grandsons get lost in life, and they feel like they can't do nothing, this book will teach them that, hey, Grandpa Philip did it, or, you know, my dad did it. My dad overcome the most extensive circumstances you could ever face, and he came out on top, so I could be all right. So I think I really wanted to leave a legacy behind for my kids.
I hear that. I hear definitely legacy, because it's like you said, money. That money's going to come and go. That money can only last probably the first generation, maybe the next generation. But you have something like a book, something, words, something you did in life that touched the community, touched other people. That has a lasting effect that goes well beyond. Yep.
And also, now that I think about it, and now you and I are always talking, we always, our minds start to work. It's a beacon. It truly is a beacon. We, like you just said, we everybody puts out a book, and everybody wants to say a story. But I think for our culture, you know, we don't pick up books as often as we should. So this book provides that beacon, and because it's so short and it's straight to the point, and it really touches a lot of issues that I believe some people are afraid to touch on.
True, definitely.
And I think sometimes with men in particular, we have a pride issue. And if we tell something about ourselves, then people will look at us in a different way. I approach this book with my sons in mind and exposing myself and telling my kids, if you make this mistake, don't feel bad. You could press forward. And I think African-American males need to hear that.
I definitely agree. You brought up 2 points or whatever. Definitely about the reading. Like, you know, some stuff happened. Stuttering, right? So stuttering, some stuff happened to me like when I was younger in school, and it kind of pushed me away from reading. And I really didn't read. I would read to where, like, just enough to where, okay, what does a question ask for in this assignment? That's what I'm going to get. I'm going to get that information. And that was really associated with the negative effect I had about being teased about stuttering. And I got off of that. And I don't want to get too much into that, because I do have another a series coming up I'm working on that. The first part, the first step is reading. It deals with reading or whatever, like a quick story. I mean, a quick series dealing that associated around with reading. Then the other thing you kind of touched on was like that pride issue, that being not wanting to be upfront and being open. Because we all have that. You know, we don't want everybody to let us know that we're hurting inside, or this is what we went through, just because of that pride issue. And that rolls into the second question. What made you want to be so open and upfront about your life?
I grew up, I think you know me pretty well. I'm a joyous person. I wasn't always that way. I learned to be that way because life is so short. But in being joyous, sometimes the best experience you have, the best happiness you can have, it's just being honest. I experienced that when I'm honest with somebody and I'm upfront with people, mentally, it's a lighter load on me, because I told you what I needed to tell you.
Yep.
Physically, you feel free. You feel like, you know, you can have fun. And that's my personality. I love to have fun at work, or when I was in the military, I always try to make something funny or crack a joke. But being open and honest allows me that avenue to have fun. So I believe being honest is a pillar of God's kingdom. And that's just my take on it. So
Yeah, you're honest and upfront. Like you said, it relieves that load that's on you. And some people don't know how to take that. Some people don't know how to take someone being open, honest, and upfront or whatever, because so many of us want to hide things and everything. It's kind of hard to move through life like that. You know, we kind of do that, or we see that through, I always say something about like Instagram and YouTube and everything. Right. And even the podcast stuff like this. That's why I had to make a change. You see everybody want to do retakes and cuts and everything to make it seem like I did this in one shot. I made this look easy, when in fact it's not easy. Sometimes it takes like multiple takes, multiple angles, Photoshop, photo touching, and all that other stuff. Which every time I say Photoshop, I think about you, because you always had that, had that touch, and it made me want to get in there and try to do the same stuff too. Yeah, being up front is it's tough. It's really tough though.
And it's a way of communication. And I think a lot of people don't see it that way. I have a beautiful wife. Shout out to April. I have a beautiful wife, 12 years. Yeah. I think everybody knows she's brutally honest. But she's not honest to be rude. She's just honest because that's her personality. And once you get to know her, you take her honesty as, okay, that's food for thought. But people from the outside looking in go, oh, why is she so rude? And it's just, no, that's who she is. She's going to tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear.
Yeah, that's true, April. Yeah, she would. She'll tell you. And when you first meet her, you'd be like, what? Wait a minute. But yeah. Yep.
So I learned that, you know, growing up with my wife, I kind of picked up on that. And my honesty just kind of, it grew. And now it's not so much, it can be immature sometimes, I will admit. But sometimes it's right on the money. And so,
yeah.
It's a blessing and a curse, I'd say.
Yeah, blessing, a balance. Sometimes it's like, sometimes you may have to be rude, but sometimes you have to be honest. It's that love. And love is not always roses and everything. It's like the truth that's going to, like, it may hurt a little bit, but you're like, you know what? They're looking out for me in the long run.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. And you kind of touched, you know, you talked about April and everything, and doing some things, which kind of brings up life, and which brings up your book. Third question. Now, I know the book is based on your life. And when you're writing something, you have everything associated with your life and all that stuff. You have your memories. But I ask you, what are the most memorable parts of your book?
Oh, wow. You know, they change from time to time. So today will be the dedication part, where I dedicated to my kids.
Yeah.
And the Belly Boys for Life.
Yeah.
That's just our little, we got a little gang in the house. We got a handshake and everything. It's funny. yeah, dedicating the book to my kids was the most fondest memory. The second fondest memory, I have to say this, it's going to sound corny, talking about Alpha Phi Fraternity Incorporated. Making that transition from gang life and looking at an organization that's not only wearing letters, but actually helping the community and helping people and trying to beat the odds. It lined up with me. And seeing that at Shaw University, being a road chapter, it inspired me. And I think it started to change my life. And seeing a group of men, not just destroying the community, but help building it. So that's one. Writing about Alpha was the second best part. The third best part, the fondest one, is the end. It's the ending.
Yeah.
And when you read the ending, when you read direction, you see a kid, now you got a grown man, but you want to know what's next. And I think I left the readers pondering, he's conquered so much. What is the next step? And I left that kind of open. And I did that purposely, and I think I loved that part. I loved it. So those are my three fondest memories for today.
All right. With that being said, because you hit on some parts, and hopefully I could touch on a few things that kind of like had me like, wow. But let's go with the ending in mind, because that's one of the last things you talked about. Then if I could just read it real quick, because it's funny. I have part of it. What's up?
Take your time.
Right. Yeah. Well, and this is really for you. Anyway, this is your time to get the stuff out there. So, but one part I have highlighted, because I bought the e-copy of it. When it came out, I was in Okinawa too. E-copy. I had all my work done that day, and I heard you had a book, so I was like, okay, let me get this book downloaded or whatever, start reading it. And like I said, I had some reading stuff. It's kind of like, eh, I get bored sometimes or whatever. But I guess knowing you and knowing the stories and seeing them unfold and everything right there in front of me on paper, cover to cover, just nonstop. Finished it out, banged it out, covering it. I was just like, man. But I want to share some of the highlights because you mentioned the end. So one of the things I have highlighted is, it says, and even though I still am a work in progress, I'm glad I'm working for God and He is at work in me. My relationship with God is what I believe in, not church traditions and religions. And that is what makes me strong. He is the one who gives me direction to my dreams. And then you capped it off with Proverbs 1:16-9, the King James Version. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. And I tell you, that one was like, man, because we have so many plans in life, has so many things we want to do. And then guess what? Especially military stuff. You'd be like, okay, I'm going to do this and do this. And then for instance, I was sitting there at work. I was at my duty station. And, you know, normally I've been there like 6 years, 4 years here, so, you know, stuff like that. Then right. It was like, I was barely there a year and 9 months, and they hit me with orders to South Korea. And I was like, that's not in my plan. What's going on here? But it's everything that I needed. Being that time, it sucked being that time away from the family and everything, but that's just what I needed. And that's some good stuff at the end of the book.
It's one of those, it makes me teary-eyed, but again, it's just, you know, if you would have told me, and I was telling my wife this, I think 2 days ago, if you would have told a 17-year-old Phillip with drugs in his pocket and $2,000 in his pocket that he was going to be Dr. Bailey 20 years from now, I wonder how that conversation would have played out.
You know, that's, and go ahead.
It's two different personalities. But the thing is, you never know because God is always working out something for you. And at this very moment, I don't know what God has planned for me. He could tell me to drop out this PhD course. I just don't know. And that's what I'm excited about. Because God always has plans to not hurt me, but to build me. Yeah. And that's what I'm excited about.
Yeah, yeah. It's the center. It's like everything kind of revolves around that point, around God. You know, it's His plan, not our plan or whatever. And right. He talked about the 17-year-old not knowing God. I mean, like, it goes way back. And I want to share another part I have highlighted in there. And to me, it's really touching because it's like at a young age or whatever, having to do this is kind of like, man, you could tell from a low point to a high point. And it's just like the whole book is kind of like a roller coaster. It goes, it has ups and downs of life. But guess what? That's what life is. It's not like you overcome a hurdle and everything is smooth after that. It's just like one of my posts I had. It's a hurdle race. You have 10 hurdles. At least you know it's 10, but life, it continues on. You take 3 steps, there's the next hurdle. 3 steps, the next hurdle. It continues on like that. The point I was trying to make was in your book, and I want to read a little bit about it again, is that like this shows at a young age how it could be damaging. It could really affect your outlook. And we'll probably talk about this in another question coming up. There's that thunder, you know. But let me go ahead and read that part. It says, at one point, I clearly remember not eating for 2 days straight. The result of my parents being so high that they slept during the day with their bedroom door locked and so no one can hear them. And here's what got me like, man, I would go through the garbage can at school and eat what was edible. I know that may be touching for you. It's touching for me because it's like, for me, it feels good to be able to, like I said in the intro, to be able to meet somebody, to know someone, to keep in touch with someone that whatever weight is on their shoulder, it's like, okay, cool, a workout. Let me get stronger. Let me continue to push forward. And it's really tough. I know it's kind of hard a little bit or whatever because, like, this is touching stuff, but this is, like,
your life, this is, man, the reason for direction. those were some hard times. I gotta admit, it was rough. It was rough. There's so many stories behind that. But every day going to school, and you know, I used to hide it at first. I used to hide it, and but then I stopped hiding it because everybody knew I was doing it, and it was just to the point where I used to blame my parents for that. I used to blame them. I used to hate their guts. But now I understood that they weren't equipped to be parents, and it's not their fault. Children, the Bible says, children are gifts from God, and sometimes people misuse their gifts. But it was tough. It was tough, and it showed me how to be a great parent. It just taught me how to be a great parent, yeah. And I would never let my sons go through that. Never.
Yeah, and it's funny. I continue to just think about back, like, you know, we're out there in a sandbox, deployed or whatever, going to work every day. You know, we get out there, I think, to ride the bus or to wait for everybody to show up so we can hop into trucks and all that stuff and go to our spot and everything. And it seemed like, I remember every day you would show up with the little pocket Bible and it would have more highlights, more tags, more highlights, more tags. And I'm just like, man, that's the stuff I need to be doing. And it's like, my man's on it and everything. You know, you just keep overcoming them obstacles. Talked about the hurdles. And
I still have that Bible, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You should. Yeah. Yeah. That's some good stuff, man. Now, you know, I just mentioned a hurdle, an obstacle in there or whatever. And we talked about overcoming those things. Let's dig a little deeper with another question, the fourth question. So, what was the internal process that allowed you to press forward after each obstacle? Because that's tough to do. What was that internal?
Wow. It was Jesus. I can't lie. It was Jesus. You know, we eternally, even graduating from Job Corps, getting my GED, I used to copy hip hop artists. You know how they get awards? And they used to say, first of all, I want to thank Christ. They get this little, they got like a little script that they read.
Yeah, yeah.
I call it a script. But eternally, I will always ask, why? Why God? Why God? And I will never get an answer. And so I will keep pushing until I heard from him. And little did I, now looking back, he was giving me all the answers all the time. So eternally, I was pushing to get an answer from God as to why am I here? Why am I getting this? Why am I this honor roll student at Job Corps? But I couldn't be an honor roll student in high school. Why am I getting this GED with all my other friends getting high school diplomas? And eternally, I started to think, I just need you to answer me, God. I'm going to keep doing whatever. I'm going to keep doing this, but eternally, I want you to answer me. I guess this is the answer. It's a shape of weight for him.
Patience, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes we want it now. We want that, hey, how does this work? Pick up the phone, Googleize it. Oh, this is how it works. But man, it's like, life is not like that. You don't see it now, and then, but you look back in hindsight, and you're like, that's what he was doing. He was preparing me for this moment, because this moment, if I didn't have all the other stuff, this moment would be so difficult for me, so hard.
And I think, and you know what? If you read, when everybody reads the book, they'll realize that in most of all the major decisions that happened in my life, I didn't ask a male figure what they thought. I just went and did it. And to this day, I don't understand that process. And to me, it's mind-boggling. Because I got a GED. I didn't ask my uncle or my father. I went to Shaw University. I asked my uncle and father. But I graduated. No conversation. It was just come see me walk across stage. I went to the military. Didn't ask somebody. The MBA, now the PhD. It was no humanly figure involved. It was always a spiritual figure. It was always Jesus, making sure it was the right will. So eternally, it's just that continuing conversation with Christ, and it's trying to figure this out. Right, wrong, and indifferent.
Man, I don't even know what to say. Like I said, like when I look back, it's some stuff, man, just look back and all the talks, you know, at the office, deploy location, seeing the things like everybody tripping. Cause I still remember, a whole bunch of stuff, man. I remember one time it's like just sitting there still thinking, man, this guy, like, went from this, just the story you tell me, went from this GED. Like, what made him get up, leave his area, and go to Shaw University? Like, go to a university, get it, and then graduate. Like, man. And then you're sitting up there, and I remember, I still remember this. All the people in your shop kind of giving you a hard time because you was always reading or whatever, and they're like, why are you doing this and doing that? You're like, I'm trying to get my master's. And they're like, well, you got to get a bachelor's first and all this stuff. And it was like, done, already got it. Like, why are you trying to hold me back, kind of stuff? But it's like so many memories, and just like seeing that book, and it's just like, it's easy to place in life and just go back and remember. So it's like, it still stuck with me, and a lot of inspiration, a lot of stuff that I gather from all areas, all aspects of my life to continue to push forward. It's just, I don't know. I enjoyed the book. I enjoyed it. So I don't even know what else to say. But
I think for the most part, I won't say for the most part, I love the book. I have it cased. The very first comic that I have it cased on, and it's a picture frame, and I have it cased in the wall. But it won't be the last book I write. But I really love the fact that this book tackled not only my personal opinion and my life story, but it also tackled my thoughts on church and marriage and how we really should look at marriage. And it was just, for me, I presented it as a wake-up call to not only my kids, my sons, but this everybody, man. Just be who you are and be comfortable with it.
Yeah. Yeah, and you gave me something to think about, too, a few weeks ago. You said, like, you were talking about how the worst thing that can happen to you is the best thing that can happen to you.
Yeah. Yeah. That's you give me the look. It's basically I think about it. Every time that I've been broken down, I've been rebuilt at a better version. And so when God breaks you down, he rebuilds you better than before. And so you have sometimes in life, the worst thing that can happen to you, it was, for me, it was being accused of rape and being thrown down steps and had to go to an abusive childhood. All that made me who I am today. And I had to have that had to happen for me to be in this best situation. Married, two kids, a dog. Don't ask me why. but yeah, I'm in the best situation. I went from sleeping in a park to now owning a property. I went from eating out of garbage cans to marrying a cook. I don't know how that happened. I got lucky. But the worst thing that can happen to you is the best thing that can happen to you with God on your side.
Yep. Just hard to see it. It's hard to see at the time. But later on, everything comes together.
Yeah,
man. But it's so much to talk about, because that book, it seemed like it goes through so many stages of life that someone, it could touch everyone out there, can have something that can relate to each stage of life that you kind of been through. So I don't know. It's good. Like, before we hit the last question, can you just tell us a little bit, like, where can they get the book? What kind of stuff can they do? What?
Oh, man. Well, first of all, it's on Google. It's on Amazon. It's at Barnes & Nobles. You can Google it. It'll pop up everywhere. Direction by Philip Bailey. That's with one L. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Instagram, TheKid3482. I kind of dropped jewels from the book subliminally. But we're working on have him direction as a separate Instagram account so people can ask me direct questions. But yeah, it's everywhere. I get letters here and there sometimes.
That's good.
It's good. It's very inspirational. I got a letter a couple months ago, a young man, similar situation. He's in medical school now.
All right.
I try to take the credit, but my mama would kill me if I don't say this, and I think this is so true. To God be the glory. This is not about me at the end. This is God showing you how he works.
Yep.
And I compared it. This book is everywhere. It's on Google, Amazon, Barnes & Nobles. We're working on an app. We're actually coming out with a musical piece to direction.
Okay.
So that's being worked at. Oh, so many things I'm doing. But yeah, it's everywhere right now. It's everywhere.
That's good stuff. I hear you. You got so much stuff going on.
I
hear you, man. Like I said, I mentioned earlier before we got started, getting ready to retire. So I got retirement on my mind and all that good stuff. It's just like, man, where do you go? You know, as a man, you want to continue to push forward and be able to provide for your family. So I get all this stuff. So many stuff on your mind, so many things on your plate, but it still feels good.
It does. And I remember the first time that I actually met you and I walked into your office and you had everything. So, and this is how funny life works. You had everything in order. Everything was in a certain spot in a certain position for a particular reason. And that's how your desk was set up.
Yep.
And when someone touched it, you asked, why would you touch it? Everything plays a part. And believe it or not, I took that and I ran with it. And everything, now my man cave is like that. Everything has a particular spot. Everything plays a part. But life, every piece in life plays a part. We just have to make sure they all there. Yep. And so, yeah. So,
all right.
It's good.
All right. So, we kind of, the whole theme behind this is trying to keep it kind of short. I mean, it's a lot of stuff, and we could continue talking again, right. Maybe even have you on later again. We'll see how everything goes with the podcast, and I keep pushing forward. But I like to keep this kind of short so that people, a lunch break, a commute to work or whatever, this right. May even be two parts. We'll see how the editing goes or whatever, but wrap it up with the last question. So if you had to pull three main life lessons from your book, what would they be?
Oh, man. God first, everyone second.
All right.
Family first and love life.
All right. So God first, family, love life.
Yeah.
All right. Short, simple, easy. Easy to follow. Easy things to keep in your mind, not like difficult steps or whatever. God first. After God, you got your family.
Yeah.
Which, man, that reminds me so much of military. Like the family part. Like all of this, really. So you said God first, family, love life. All the experiences in there. You do that, you seem to have a good game plan, right?
It's the best plan you could ever put forward. I keep it short. If God is first, God would organize everything else. And I guess for men, and I can only speak for men, the true way to know that God is on your side is if he gives you a family. Because the wife is a gift. The kids are a gift. Marriage is a gift. That's your declaration that God is on your side. So God first, everyone second, family first. Love life.
All right. And there you have it, folks. Mr. Philip Bailey, author, direction, brother, son, husband, father, mentor, author, alpha man, and the list goes, PhD candidate, and the list goes on and on. Once again, I thank you for taking time out of your schedule to be on the Zealous Disposition podcast. If you have any questions, all right. If you have any questions for Philip, you know, you can hit me up in the information in the outro. I'll forward to him, but I'll let him handle his business, his information, and all that good stuff. So once again, Philip, thank you.
Thank you, boss.
Providing positive positions on life is my aim. Hopefully you gain an extra tool to add to your toolbox for life. To access previous episodes, or to leave comments, visit the website at zealousdisposition.com. I can also be reached by email at zealousdisposition@gmail.com. Thank you for listening, and remember, as iron sharpens iron, so one man another. Sharpen yourself and sharpen those around you.